Want to jump right in at the deep end? I asked. She nodded.
Sure.
I rattled open a drawer and slid a slim file out and passed it across to her. She didn't look at it, just held it one-handed down by her side and looked at me. Aberdeen, Maryland, I said, at the Proving Grounds. There's a weapons designer acting weird. Confidential tip from a buddy who's worried about espionage, but I think it's more likely blackmail. Could be a long and sensitive investigation.
No problem, she said.
She was the reason I didn't walk out through the open and unguarded gate. I went inside, instead, and took a long, hot shower. Nobody likes to risk confrontation when they're wet and naked, but I was way past caring. I guess I was feeling fatalistic. Whatever. Bring it on. Then I wrapped up in a towel and went down a flight and found Duke's room. Stole another set of his clothes. I dressed in them and put my own shoes and jacket and coat on. Went back to the kitchen to wait. It was warm in there. The way the sea was pounding and the rain was beating on the windows made it feel warmer still. It was like a sanctuary. The cook was in there, doing something with a chicken. Got coffee? I asked her. She shook her head. Why not? Caffeine, she said. I looked at the back of her head. Caffeine is the whole point of coffee. Anyway, tea's got caffeine, and I've seen you make that.
Tea has tannin.
And caffeine.
So drink tea instead.
I looked around the room. There was a wooden block standing vertically on a counter with black knife handles protruding at angles. There were bottles and glasses. I guessed under the sink there might be ammonia sprays, maybe some chlorine bleach, enough improvised weapons for a close-quarters fight. If Beck was even a little inhibited about shooting in a crowded room, I might be okay. I might be able to take him before he took me. All I would need was half a second.
You want coffee?
The cook asked.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is.
All you have to do is ask.
I did ask.
No, you asked if there was any. Not the same thing.
So will you make me some, please?
What happened to Mr. Duke?
I paused. Maybe she was planning on marrying him, like in old movies where the cook marries the butler and they retire and live happily ever after. He was killed, I said.
Last night?
In an ambush.
Where?
In Connecticut.
Okay. I'll make you some coffee.
She set the machine going. I watched where she got everything from. The filter papers were stored in a cupboard next to the paper napkins. The coffee itself was in the freezer. The machine was old and slow. It made a loud, ponderous, gulping sound. Combined with the rain lashing on the windows and the waves pounding on the rocks, it meant I didn't hear the Cadillac come back. First I knew, the back door was thrown open, and Elizabeth Beck burst in with Richard crowding after her and Beck himself bringing up the rear. They were moving with the kind of exhilarated, breathless urgency people show after a short, fast dash through heavy rain.
Hello?
Elizabeth said to me. I nodded, said nothing.
Coffee, Richard said. Great. We went out for breakfast, Elizabeth said. Old Orchard Beach. There's a little diner there we like. Paulie figured we shouldn't wake you, Beck said. He figured you looked pretty tired last night, so he offered to drive us instead.
Okay, I said. Thought, did Paulie find my stash? Did he tell them yet?
You want coffee?
Richard asked me. He was over by the machine, rattling cups in his hand.
Black, I said.
Thanks. He brought me a cup. Beck was peeling off his coat and shaking water off it onto the floor.
Bring it through, he called. We need to talk.
He headed out to the hallway and looked back like he expected me to follow him. I took my coffee with me. It was hot and steaming. I could toss it in his face if I had to. He led me toward the square paneled room we had used before. I was carrying my cup, which slowed me down a little. He got there well ahead of me. When I entered, he was already all the way over by one of the windows with his back to me, looking out at the rain. When he turned around, he had a gun in his hand. I just stood still. I was too far away to use the coffee. Maybe 14 feet. It would have looped up and curled and dispersed in the air and probably missed him altogether. The gun was a Beretta M9 Special Edition, which was a civilian Beretta 92FS, all dressed up to look exactly like a standard military-issue M9. It used 9mm Parabellum ammunition. It had a 15-round magazine and military dot-and-post sights. I remembered with bizarre clarity that the retail price had been $861. I had carried an M9 for 13 years. I had fired many thousands of practice rounds with it, and more than a few for real. Most of them had hit their targets, because it's an accurate weapon. Most of the targets had been destroyed, because it's a powerful weapon. It had served me well. I even remembered the original sales pitch from the ordnance people. It's got manageable recoil, and it's easy to strip in the field. They had repeated it like a mantra, over and over again. I guess there were contracts at stake. There was some controversy. Navy SEALs hated it. They claimed they had had dozens blow up in their faces. They even made up a cadence song about it. No way are you a Navy SEAL until you eat some Italian steel. But the M9 always served me well. It was a fine weapon, in my opinion. Beck's example looked like a brand new gun. The finish was immaculate, dewy with oil. There was luminescent paint on the sights. It glowed softly in the gloom. I waited. Beck just stood there, holding the gun. Then he moved. He slapped the barrel into his left palm and took his right hand away, leaned over the oak table and held the thing out to me, butt first, left-handed, politely, like he was a clerk in a store. "Hope you like it," he said. "I thought you might feel at home with it. Duke was into the exotics, like that stire he had. But I figured you'd be more comfortable with the Beretta. You know, given your background." I stepped forward, put my coffee on the table, took the gun from him. Ejected the magazine, checked the chamber, worked the action, looked down the barrel. It wasn't spiked. It wasn't a trick. It was a working piece. The Parabellums were real. It was brand new. It had never been fired. I slapped it back together and just held it for a moment. It was like shaking hands with an old friend. Then I cocked it and locked it and put it in my pocket. "Thanks," I said. He put his hand in his own pocket and came out with 2 spare magazines. "Take these," he said. He passed them across. I took them. "I'll get you more later." "Okay."